So, welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is really to prep you for the day one exercises of week nine from the Laws of Life workbook. We're looking at a chapter with a pretty blunt title. It's, you can make excuses or money, but you can't do both.
Yeah, it's an incredibly striking premise, honestly. We're really analyzing these specific exercises designed to hold up a mirror to your own internal escape routes, you know?
Right, exactly.
We're drawing heavily on like behavioral psychology and neuroscience to understand exactly why these exercises are structured the way they are.
When the source material kicks off with this incredible analogy about Olympic judo, of all things. Historically, U.S. athletes train to win fast. They're always looking for a quick exit.
Right, the path of least resistance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Soviet athletes, they trained to survive. They really wanted to endure the pressure, you know, frustrate the opponent, and then eventually find a way forward.
Which is huge. That mindset difference is the entire core of this module. When you immediately lean on an excuse during adversity, you're just adopting that quick exit mentality.
You're basically, and this is how I look at it from a behavioral standpoint, you're tapping out before the opponent even locks in a hold.
Oh, completely.
You know, you yield to the pressure before the fight actually begins.
Which is exactly why the day one exercises don't just, you know, tell you to stop making excuses. They force you to look at your actual behavioral data.
Yeah, the hard evidence.
Right. So the first question requires a 90-day audit of your discretionary spending.
Okay, see, I actually have to push back on this one a little bit. Because teaching behavioral psychology, I get that looking at a bank statement shows habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if I see I spent, say, $50 on coffee over a week, how does that expose an excuse? Doesn't that just prove I like caffeine?
Well, it's not actually about the coffee itself. It's about the narrative you attach to it. Neurologically speaking, your brain is just a master at post-rationalization.
Oh, absolutely. The stories we tell ourselves.
Exactly. You tell yourself you can't afford to invest in a new skill, right? Or start a business because you, quote unquote, don't have the capital. The spending audit acts as a hard data check against that narrative.
Ah, I see. So it bypasses the brain's internal storyteller.
Yes. It shows the stark contrast between what you claim your priorities are and where your dopamine-seeking behaviors are actually directing your resources.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. It removes the subjective emotion from the equation, and the numbers just act as an objective baseline, which really perfectly sets up the psychological trap of the next two questions.
The wait for easier conditions trap.
Right. Question two asks where you are waiting for conditions to get easier. And then question three asks you to pinpoint an excuse you're currently using that you would instantly call out if a friend used it.
I love that one. That third question is just a brilliant hack of your brain's defense systems. Because usually when your ego is threatened, your amygdala acts like a bouncer at a club.
A bouncer. I like that.
Yeah, it's just standing there blocking any incoming criticism to keep your self-image totally comfortable.
Right. The classic ego defense mechanism.
Yeah.
It's why we get so defensive when someone points out our flaws.
Exactly. But by framing the excuse as belonging to a friend, you basically trick that bouncer. You bypass the amygdala's threat response entirely because you aren't evaluating yourself.
Oh, wow. So once you realize the excuse is hollow for them, cognitive dissonance just kicks in.
You've got it. You are suddenly forced to reconcile the fact that you are actively using an excuse you already know is logically invalid.
You short-circuit the protective algorithm. That is fascinating. But, I mean, just exposing a bad habit doesn't fix it?
No, of course not.
Right. So the module moves from that exposure straight into reprogramming. It gives you three mental codes to review three times a day. First, treat excuses as expensive-like, literally identify and destroy them.
Huh?
Second, shift your focus to the tools you do have right now. And third, reframe problems as exciting challenges.
And that repetition is a classic mechanism for neuroplasticity. By doing that three times a day, you are literally carving new neural pathways to replace those default escape routes.
I completely buy the repetition aspect, but I am a little skeptical about the final day one instruction.
The bedtime question.
Yeah. It asks you to plant a very specific question in your mind right before falling asleep. Quote, what one thing could I start doing this week to improve my economic output, and what is stopping me? I mean, I hear sleep on it all the time, but mechanistically, what is actually happening in the brain there?
Well, it's really not just a cliche. When you seed a specific problem-solving prompt right before the onset of sleep, you are assigning a highly targeted task to your subconscious.
because the brain doesn't just turn off.
Exactly. During deep sleep and REM cycles, your brain is highly active. It's consolidating memories, running simulations.
And does this without the interference of our waking anxieties, right? Or that ego-protecting bouncer we talked about.
Precisely. It forces unconscious neural activity to sift through your mental database without any bias. So by morning, the brain has often synthesized disparate ideas.
Turning that offline processing into a concrete, actionable solution, that is really powerful. It turns sleep from passive rest into an active problem-solving state.
It really does.
So your mission today is to dive into the day one module. Do the reading, run the spending audit, and set those mental codes. You need to be ready to conquer tomorrow's chapter distill.
And, you know, as you start this work, consider this. Society often rewards us for having a quote-unquote good excuse.
Oh, definitely. We get a lot of sympathy for failing with a good reason.
Right. We receive validation when we explain why we couldn't achieve something, which gives our brains a quick, really cheap dopamine hit.
But that is a dangerous comfort. So ask yourself, are you unknowingly prioritizing the warm reassurance of a socially acceptable excuse over the friction required to actually succeed?
It's your move on the mat.
Exactly. Don't tap out early.